Welcome to the Homeschool Show with NCHG. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill. On Homeschool News today, we're going to give you some updates on the upcoming Thrive Homeschool Conference. And in Homeschool Conversations, I want to share a little bit of a conversation I had with Catherine Bell Gomes. She's a math author for Apologia and one of our featured speakers at the upcoming conference. And in Homeschool Helps, a man is going to help answer the question, should I participate in a co-op, and talk about what are the pros and cons. All right, starting off with homeschool news. First of all, for the conference, we need some volunteers. Volunteering is really fun. It's a great opportunity to participate and be a part of the conference in a different way. Our conference is mainly run by volunteers, and you will have some benefits by doing so. First of all, for each hour that you volunteer, you will receive a free MP3 recording of your choice of the workshops at the conference. Also, if you volunteer for enough hours, you can receive a free conference registration. In addition to this, all the volunteers are going to be registered for a drawing or submitted for a drawing. That person will receive all of the conference recordings for free. And the more you volunteer, the more times you'll be submitted to the drawing. We also have a chess tournament. This is the annual chess tournament at the Thrive Conference. This happens on Thursday afternoon, and this is for kids from 12 to 18. And if you want to find out how to sign up for this tournament, you can go to nche.com/thrive and click on the chess link. We're going to have the volunteer link, the chess link, in the show notes, so you'll be able to see how to get those. But there are some tabs on the Thrive page where you can see these. Finally, you want to check out the lodgings tab, because the Marriott and the Embassy are two hotels that are connected to the Benton Convention Center. So these are really great places to stay. You can go to the vendor hall, pick up your books, go right to your room and drop them off. You'll be able to travel, navigate to your hotel rooms without having to go outside. So the thing you need to be aware of is that May 9th is the cutoff. It's the deadline for being able to get your rooms for the conference at the Marriott and the Embassy. So we'll have the link for that, where you can go check out those. But you want to make sure you get there and get your reservation before May 9th. Going into homeschool conversations, I want to share a part of a fantastic conversation I had with Catherine Bell Gomes. She is Apologia's esteemed math author, nationwide speaker, and a homeschooled student herself, the daughter of Deborah Bell. Catherine holds a Master of Education in Mathematics from the University of Pennsylvania and a BS in Mathematics from the University of Pittsburgh. She has lots of teaching experience, and one of her great passions is improving mathematics education for homeschoolers by increasing rigor while maintaining the creativity and free thinking that she enjoyed in her schooling. So we talked about some of her workshops. We visit a little bit of her math workshops and how that relates to a Charlotte Mason approach to education. We also talked about what to do with your little ones while you're doing homeschool. So let's check out this conversation. Catherine, it's great talking to you, and we're really excited about having you to the conference, which is coming up very soon, isn't it?
Yes, we're getting pumped over here because my whole family's coming down to Winston-Salem. So,
oh, fun.
Planning our little road trip to North Carolina.
Oh, that's great. What do you mean by whole family? Who's that include?
My three kids and my husband. So I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So if anybody has great ideas for what to do with a 5-year-old in North Carolina, let me know.
So it looks like one of your prominent topics here is math. So How did you get to be, I guess, interested or love math, or how did that come about in your life and as a mom?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on Instagram, I'm homeschool math mom. I've kind of become like the homeschool math person. It's an interesting story. I was homeschooled. I'm a second generation homeschooler, and math is something my family did not do well. It's something we laugh about because my siblings and I have all gone into math related fields. So when I came back into sort of the homeschooling world, I wanted other people to have a better experience. So that's sort of like the root of it was, how can I help homeschool families teach math more effectively so that other kids don't have sort of the painful freshman year of college that I had? Because I was not prepared. I majored in math kind of as a surprise to my parents. So that's sort of the background on that.
You know, I think it's always great to be able to say we can do things better and go back and think about that. And I think the advantage of someone like you having been homeschooled is you have an extra advantage of being able to reflect on that and make improvements. One of the things I would hope, because I'm a first generation homeschool parent, I was public schooled. One of the things I would hope that maybe demonstrated with you and your siblings, let me know if you think this is true, is that you somehow were still able to recover because you knew how to learn, or you had the confidence and ability to make it happen, right? Not that that's ideal, but I'm just wondering if that also, I hope, would be kind of a result of being homeschooled.
For sure. That's one of the things I think actually that gives me confidence to homeschool my kids is my parents made mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. And one of the funniest things is when we look back, they were complete blind spots. Like I said, my mom had no idea I was going to major in math. So it wasn't even one of the things that she was kind of worried about, right? It was like this complete, like, oh, I never would have thought. So I know I have blind spots right now. It's probably not even the things that I'm a little worried about with my three kids. But if we teach them how to learn, then they can sort of recover. And it's actually, it's the best method, because any educational choice you make, there's going to be pitfalls. But if you're preparing them to take ownership and to address those pitfalls, then they're going to be fine. So it makes me feel a little more, I think, relaxed as a second generational homeschooler, because I'm like, okay, it worked out, right? Even the areas that I was weak in, I was able to compensate.
Yeah, I think that's an encouragement. So I love these titles of your workshops. I'm looking at what you're planning on speaking at the saying at the conference. So let's stick with math just for a second. I am intrigued by Living Math, Teaching Off the Page in the Charlotte Mason Style.
Yes.
Help us know what that's about.
Sure. So I fall like if, in terms of camps, I'm pretty Charlotte Mason inspired. I hang out with a lot of, you know, people who follow her philosophies. And I feel like math was always the oddball. Like people know how to teach history in the Charlotte Mason style and literature. What do you do with math? And can you apply the Charlotte Mason philosophy to math? And you can. And it's not just that, but actually the research on how to teach math effectively lines up with a lot of Charlotte Mason principles. So I wrote this session to help parents see how you could make math living math and not teach it in a dry way. I think a lot of us, our default is the textbook, the notebook, you're at a table, you're just getting it done, right? And it's not necessarily fun or exciting, but you know, we're checking it off. In this session, I want to show people how to teach math effectively, which is connecting it to a context, teaching off the page with manipulatives, games, projects. And then most importantly, I spend a lot of time in this session talking about how to make it doable. Because I think as homeschooling parents, you know, there's these grandiose ideas. They're wonderful. They're exciting, but they can be messy and expensive and, you know, a little crazy. So I've spent a lot of time thinking about what are some simple ways we can make this more achievable. Manipulatives that you can use for several different things, for instance, instead of just one. So that's kind of the heart of that session. There'll be lots of practical takeaways. And if anyone's curious about Apologia Math, the elementary math series I wrote for Apologia, that series is really grounded in this philosophy. So you'll hear a lot about the philosophy behind that program if you come to that session.
You said there's an overlap in the principles of the Charlotte Mason approach and math. Tell me more about that. Like, what is an example of one of those principles, or and how it would relate?
Yeah. So a lot of times a Charlotte Mason principle is like living books, real stories. And a similar theme in how we teach math is you always want to connect the math to a real context or something real. So there's great picture books that you can use to teach math, or anytime we introduce a new concept like division, you want to start with something in real life that the kids are familiar with. And I feel like the heart of that is very Charlotte Mason.
And let's keep with the little ones there. Toddlers in tow, what to do with your little ones while you homeschool. So tell us some of the tips that you might have here for this one.
I have this habit. I did it several times where I'd make these grandiose plans for our fall and I had everything lined up and I forgot about the baby or the toddler or potty training, and then all the plans just crumble. And we even had one epic first day of school where I had laid everything out. I was all like excited, and then my toddler just like destroyed it before we hadn't even like said our opening prayer. I was like, oh no. In this session, I wanted to just share some of what I've learned. My youngest is 5 now, so we're a little bit out of the little years. But the other thing that makes this session unique is I'm not really a little kid person. I'm a little more, I love like high schoolers. So I knew I wasn't the best expert to share on this. So what I did was I went out on social media and I just asked for help and asked if anyone had tips, and interviewed several homeschool moms. One mom in particular with 8 kids was extraordinarily helpful and profound. So I wrote down all their ideas, from the kind of the vision of just remembering that every child in our family is there by God's design and they're a part of our homeschool, and we want to include them and love them and not view them as a distraction or interruption, to like really practical things like having the bin of toys, having your older one read to the littler one. So I think it's going to be really rich. I think it's a great place to ground yourself, especially if you're heading into a year where you're going to have another baby or someone's going to be walking who wasn't walking this past year. But there's lots of practical takeaways too.
Great. So do you have a favorite, or like give us at least one of these little hacks for homeschooling with the little ones?
Let them play with your math manipulatives. Because then they feel like they're doing math. And so when we would do math, I would just set up, there's, you know, nothing chokeable, obviously, but the blocks or the pattern blocks, I would just have the littlest one do math right next to us. And then they felt really happy. Another one that makes a huge difference is if you do something with your littlest first, so they feel like they already got mommy time. And so then you don't mm-hmm. spend the whole day with them acting up because they see you doing school with the older ones and you haven't done anything with them. So if you front end it, you read them that picture book, and then they're like, mommy does love me. And then you can get through the morning.
Yeah, that's great. Another thing that I think parents especially appreciate about second generation homeschoolers is to know how they turned out, you know, like, so you're okay, right? You know,
right. Are you weird? Are you scarred?
That's right. And so I think you're probably going to get some interest in this workshop, 5 Ways God Used Homeschooling to Strengthen My Faith and Prepare Me to Engage the World.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a couple of those.
Yeah, this one is really just my testimony. I love this workshop because it's just an opportunity for me to share how I became a Christian. And it's become, I feel like this session has become more powerful because a lot of people in my generation are deconstructing and kind of have a pretty negative view of their childhood. Whereas for me, I definitely don't view homeschooling as why I'm a Christian. That would be putting too much on it, but it was part of how God called me. And so I think it's really powerful just to be able to share that. Like one thing to be specific was the time with my siblings, just the amount of time that I spent with my siblings growing up with a lot of conflict and working through things. It wasn't like we were just like, oh, this is great. We're all in the house together. There were some tense moments. But now that I look back, I have twin older brothers. They're 2 years older than me. And just being around their example, and they both became Christians before I would say I did. And now I see, like, I was so influenced by them. And I saw it because we were all at home. Like, I remember my one brother was like obsessed with John Piper, and John Piper sermons would be blaring as we're getting ready to do school. And just the impact that had on me of like his love for good preaching, and or I'd see my brothers reading their Bible. So that's just one specific, but I feel like it can be just a really, really good encouraging session for all of us after hearing so much, I'm sure, at the convention of just how God used it in my life. And it just builds your faith, right? It builds my faith in thinking about my kids, just to reflect on all the things that God used through homeschooling.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director within CHE. So, this is a little bit of a continuation from last time's video on should you use online programs, online curriculum, or not. And I mentioned the topic that I'm about to talk about briefly in that video, which is should you co-op or not? Should you go to a co-op? Should you be a part of a co-op? Should you use a co-op for your homeschool classes or not? And let me start by laying a little bit of a foundation. Number one, we have to define some terms because people use the word co-op and mean very different things sometimes. So I will tell you how I am using that word. A traditional co-op is a group of families, homeschool families, that come together and cooperatively homeschool. So it could look like a group of families come together and maybe one of the parents is really good at art. And so maybe they do art with the kids. Maybe another parent in that group is really enthusiastic about science. And so maybe they would do the science. Maybe one of the moms, and this happened in my situation, I was in a group of friends, homeschool friends, and one of the moms had a journalism background and also had a lot of years of experience in teaching writing to students. And so she one day said, well, what would you all think if I taught our kids writing? And so that is how a traditional co-op works. Usually in that kind of situation, very little or no money is exchanged. There might be some money for supplies or what have you, but it is a very different situation than a more modern version of co-op, which you would find more often these days, in my experience anyway, it is more often the case these days that when you say the word co-op or you hear about a co-op, what you are going to find is a group of homeschool families that do come together usually once a week. And oftentimes the teachers / tutors or mentors is what the co-ops around here very purposefully change that vocabulary because they say the homeschool parent is the teacher and the tutor or mentor at the co-op is not the final teacher, which makes sense, right? But in those situations that I find these days, most often the parents pay these tutors, mentors, teachers, whatever you want to call them, they pay them to teach these classes. And many times there is a board that is running this co-op, and it is not just a group of families cooperatively learning together. It's a very different situation. And maybe a more accurate term, but one that doesn't get used a lot, is enrichment classes or a resource center or something like that. But often when you hear co-op, that's what people mean. Sometimes people will use co-op also to mean a homeschool group, like a homeschool support group, like they used to be called, where families would get together and do field trips or park days or just social activities, sometimes educational activities, but most often social. And in my experience, those are usually called homeschool support groups, homeschool groups. I try to call them homeschool social groups to differentiate. But I have heard people say, oh, I want to join a co-op, and that's what they mean. I know, it's confusing. But, and let me full disclosure here, because I may end up sounding a little hypocritical in what I'm about to say, but should you co-op or not? And in my opinion, if you have all little kids, if your oldest is in middle school or younger, should you outsource some or most of your classes to a co-op, resource center, et cetera, et cetera? In my opinion, no, I don't think you should. Now, when you get to high school, when you get to some of those specialized classes, I think science labs are more fun to do in a group. I think that in some of those high school subjects, it is easier, better, more exciting to have a high school student learn that content from a teacher that is really either knowledgeable, has expertise in that topic, or is really enthusiastic about that topic. That is my personal experience. Now, I say that as someone who currently teaches in two different co-ops. I teach sign language to high school students so they can get their foreign language credit. And I find, in my opinion, again, that sign language is one of those subjects that A, is much easier and more fun to learn in person. It is much easier and more fun to learn in a group, and it's much easier and more fun and better to learn from someone who has knowledge, expertise, and enthusiasm. So maybe that makes me a hypocrite, because I'm telling you, I don't think if you have all little kids that a co-op is necessarily the best option. But let me go back to what I said previously when I was talking about online resources, and let's think about what is the why. What is the point of a home education? And I think so many new homeschool families with young kids, they feel as if they don't outsource this education, their child is going to be missing out. And that's just not true. And again, it goes back to, like with the online situation, you may feel ill-equipped, but I am here to tell you that you are equipped. You can teach your own children. You can do it. And in some future videos, I will tell you how you can do that. But for now, just be encouraged. If you feel pressure to be a part, to send your kids to a co-op or a resource center or whatever, that's not a good reason to be a part of something. If you feel like, oh, if I don't do this, I can't possibly give my child that kind of education, whatever, that's just not true. So, unpopular opinion, I'm sure, but that's what I think. I really hope this helps today.
Thanks for joining us this week. We would love to hear from you. As always, you can email us at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. Let us know if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss or questions. Also, if there's something here that's been helpful to you or you think would be helpful to your friends and family, please share it with them. You can learn how to subscribe on different platforms at nche.com/thehomeschoolshow. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.